Welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of the Spectacular Comic Book Podcast. We said that we would be gone until comic stores opened again, but we actually had something cool happen. We have a comic creator who wanted to join us to talk about the state of things. Kyle Federline is here, by the way.
Hello.
And let's just get right to it.
Interview with Dan Jurgens.
And today we have a very special guest. We have writer, artist, creator, Dan Jurgens. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Andrew.
Now, you and I have a very complicated history. You don't know this, or maybe you do, but the very first article I ever wrote for Game Informer, which I've been writing for 26, 27 years, was about the death and return of Superman, the video game on Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Oh, okay.
Which, for our listeners out there, that is one of your biggest stories that you ever wrote, drew, created, was the death of Superman. That was an event. There's people walking around town with these black wrist or black armbands that came with the comic. I was just like, this is one of the biggest comic events I've ever been a part of. And it turns out that ended up being the story that launched my video game career. I took that article, that magazine, to a Thunderbird comic book convention, and you were doing signings there, and I put it down in front of you, and you're like, oh my God, I've never seen this before.
Okay.
And I was freaking out, because it was a terrible, like, my writing was terrible, and the editing on it was just as bad. Like, we had no idea what we were doing. We were just a bunch of kids putting together a video game magazine, right?
Yep.
Flash forward 20 some odd years, I start doing a radio show with Paul Charchian on KFAN. It's a video game show on a sports network. Doesn't make sense. But it turns out you are friends with Paul Charchian.
Right. Yeah.
So we ended up connecting through Twitter that way, and that is how you ended up on this show.
Right. And the one thing we should clarify is that when you refer to the Thunderbird, so that people don't think of it as a car, you're referring to the Thunderbird Hotel, which used to be down around the Mall of America in the Twin Cities and was wholly and totally unique in its own way.
Yeah. I mean, so much, I guess you'd say Native American history from the Minnesota area, the most stuffed animals, like, you know, actual animals stuffed, I think I've seen outside of like a Chicago museum.
Yeah.
But once you went upstairs into that convention room, it was magical for comic fans because it was wall to wall, you know, just folding tables of comic books. It was amazing.
Right. And it was, you know, it's certainly what we had at the time, and it served the Twin Cities very, very well. When other professionals would come in as guests to that show, you know, they would stay at the hotel as well, and it kind of gained the phrase or term Twin Peaks Lodge with a lot of people. So that's also how we thought of it, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I got to ask you, as a writer and artist, like, you do it all for comic books. What's your favorite part? Is it the writing? Is it the creating? Is it the actual art, like seeing it come to life?
I never see it as two distinct jobs, and that's, people find that odd. I look at it and say, I'm a storyteller. I write a story and I draw a story. When I'm doing it all myself, because sometimes I write stories for others, sometimes I draw stories that others have written, but when I do it myself, I will change the story and make some tweaks to it and continue to work on the story as I draw. So I don't see it as two entirely different tasks. For me, it's just being creative and telling a story. If you ask me which I prefer when I'm working with others, I get a certain amount of juice off working with friends and colleagues and getting inside their heads a little bit to see how they work. So when I'm working with another artist, often they will draw it differently than I would have. But then when it comes in, part of the fun is seeing what it looks like and why it's different. And it's because they think differently than I do. And it's the same thing when I draw for other writers, where I get inside their head a little bit and I can see, oh, they approach this differently than I do. So we all learn from people we work with, sometimes good, sometimes bad. For me, it's all part of the storytelling process.
You are a mainstay right now at DC Comics, writing Nightwing. What other series do you have kind of in the pipeline?
I am writing Nightwing. I'm also writing Batman Beyond. I had been doing some work on our exclusive Giants line for Walmart, We have a couple of things coming up yet later this year that have not yet been announced, but should be soon. So, you know, we're constantly in this weird world where the stuff I'm working on now is, let's see, it's April. So in theory, what I'm doing now are late June and July books. And then as we plan, we're looking at fourth quarter. So we try and we're ahead. So if you asked me what my last issue number of something was that just came out, I would actually have a hard time. I'd have to think about that for a while.
So you said you're ahead. Is it just business as usual now during this, you know, we'll kind of get into the state of the world now during this lockdown. Comic book stores are closed and they even stopped production of digital comics because they want the comic stores to thrive, right? Like they want these releases having a physical presence and a digital presence. But for you as the creators, are you still pumping out issues, getting the edits? Obviously, you're not getting the final copies sent to you in the mail, but where are you at kind of in the process?
So you're right. We're all in a very strange set of circumstances right now. We are continuing to work. It's weird because like my wife is home working as well right now. The whole neighborhood is home working. And I see people who obviously are working relaxed schedules. I am not one of them. I'm still going full board. It's like, for me, nothing has changed. Obviously, the market has changed. And what we are still trying to do is figure out, you know, what exactly is the market? So for example, in Minnesota, comic stores are closed. There are many other states where they are allowed to do curbside pickup. So if they have new comics to sell, their customer bases can pull up out front having ordered them. Retailer walks out, puts them in the back seat or the trunk, just like takeout food, and they can drive away with their comics. Part of what we're doing is trying to figure out how many of those stores are still wanting new comics versus how many don't because they're closed by the government. What happens when a distributor who basically serviced the entire industry is no longer shipping books? So we have all these logistical things we're trying to take care of right now. But in the meantime, for us at DC, we are continuing to push ahead and create comics with the hope that we'll be able to get them out on the marketplace fairly soon.
So let's say you do stop providing comics to these, you know, the stores that are still open. When everything opens up, let's say there's a magical day where they all open at once. That's not going to happen. But let's say that does happen. Do you think it'll be staggered in release? Let's say you have four issues of Nightwing that are stacked up, or will they just all be available on that day? What's kind of your opinion of that?
I think it depends on how long the shutdowns last. You know, if stores are closed on average, let's say 1 month, then we might be able to come back with something that approximates a reasonable schedule. If they're closed longer, obviously you can't have them, I wouldn't think. First of all, I should say, I don't work on the business side of it, so I can't say for sure. But if stores are closed a long time, you know, I don't know that you can come back with a big market dump of product. So I think it's a long way of me saying, I'm not sure everybody knows yet, because we don't know how long this is going to last. And we don't know how long it's going to take, for example, to perhaps find viable alternatives. And so to a certain extent, this is just uncharted territory that we're all trying to figure out what does this mean as it goes on, because every day seems to bring something different. So it's really going to get down to how long is this going to last? What is the state of the industry at that time? Who is still left to facilitate product movement? Things like that. And I don't know that we have those answers yet.
Yeah, it's been really eerie for me. Like, I've been buying comics every Wednesday, you know, since I was like 8 or 9 years old, you know, going to Schinder's Comics. Schinder's was a bookseller, tobacco seller, baseball card seller in Minnesota. It was one of my favorite spots to go as a child. And any Wednesday that there wasn't new books, it kind of left like a hole in my gut, right? Like a hole in my heart. Like I was like, oh, I got to come back tomorrow. It didn't feel right because it was clockwork for me.
Right.
Now it's just like, they're all gone. I'm out of new books to read. And so what I've been doing is reaching out to all of the Minnesota vendors, all the Minnesota comic book shops to see what options they have for back issues. And for our listeners out there, that is something you can do. Reach out to them, either Facebook, email, phone, see what options you have available, because even if the storefront isn't open, they might be able to sell you, you know, trades and stuff like that through the internet, or, you know, who knows, you might end up driving to someone's house or something, but there are ways to continue getting books.
Yeah. And what I would hope at this point is that, if you go ahead and look at the essential businesses list that the governor has provided, it's bizarre. I mean, basically, if you're affiliated with a union in any kind of shape or form, great, you're doing great, right? If you work for government, great, you're doing wonderful. But I think what would be practical to me is some kind of an order that says, if you have a retail establishment and you can basically service your customer base as a takeout restaurant does, so they don't even have to come inside, you just carry the product out and boom, there it is, that would take us a long way to at least getting started again. And I think that's also a very reasonable alternative, because I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt, when they started to make the decisions to close down so many businesses, they did not possibly see all the ramifications coming that they are encountering. And I think that's the nature of government in a way, that by and large, they are people who have never worked in business. So they obviously don't see the full reach of what it is that they're doing. And that's not to say that they didn't have a lot to consider, obviously, you know, with coronavirus and everything else. It's just that, like so many of us, you make decisions and there are ripple effects that you could not contemplate. That's all.
In terms of the state of the world right now, have you been inspired by what's going on to write stories? Obviously, you know, when 9/11 happened, there was that very famous Spider-Man issue that came out. I think it was J. Michael Straczynski. I might be butchering that, but that released an issue shortly after. What is it kind of like for the creators right now of being in this uncertain time? Is it changing some of the stories you have in your head, or maybe creating new ones that you're going to bring forward in the next couple months?
It probably will more as we get past it. Part of it is we're in the middle of it, right? So when 9/11 happened, that was an event that happened in and of the towers and the Pentagon themselves. That happened in a very finite period of time. And after that, it became about cleanup and recovery and how do we deal with it and that sort of thing. This is much more an ongoing situation that we don't have a handle on yet. If someone were to say to me right now, how do you make a story out of the coronavirus? I don't know where I would start, because it's something that isn't done yet. I haven't formulated my own complete thoughts on it yet. I feel like I don't have perspective. So that being the case, man, I don't know. I just don't know where I would start for sure. There's going to come a day where I might, but right now I don't know what that would be.
When I think about it, it's like separation, loneliness, you know, just uncertainty. There's this kind of panic that just kind of hangs over everything. And that very much goes against kind of the superhero code, right? Like it's a very different thing. It's a very unsettling kind of take on the world. I'm curious to see what kind of happens to storytelling in general, not just comic books, but movies and TV shows and everything like that as we kind of move forward. Hopefully not long, right? Like, I mean, that's the thing. You keep hearing 18 months and it's like, can we even get that far, right? With business being shut down, comic book shops alone have been struggling, you know, even before the virus, right? So I'm really worried about when things restart, like, what's still going to be there?
Right. Yeah. I think you hit on the key word earlier, which is uncertainty.
Right.
And, you know, in a way, you know, superhero stories are all about certainty, right? I mean, here's the bad guy. Here's the conflict. The hero goes out and beats it and takes care of it. Or he doesn't, she doesn't, whichever. And then there are lessons learned from that, something like that. But the very nature of stories are that they have a beginning, middle of an end, and an end. And where we are right now, Andrew, I mean, we don't know, are we at the beginning or are we at the middle? You know, we know we're not at the end. So that's what we're trying to figure out.
Have you guys noticed like a surge in digital downloads or subscriptions to digital companies such as Marvel or was it Comicology or something like that? And it's
it's actually just the opposite, because what we have been doing is withholding product on the digital platforms. Because what would happen is, let's say, I'll use my own book as an example. So Nightwing 70, I think, shipped 2 weeks ago, maybe three. So anybody wants to read the next issue, Nightwing 71, if we put it on the digital platform, we know we would get X number of downloads and sales. But the problem is, those are sales that would never end up being realized in print as a physical product from the stores who desperately need that.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is trying to work with retailers and give them a break by not putting that stuff up on the platform yet, which for us is, it's hard to do because it would be this instantaneous solution to the problem.
Right.
But one that wouldn't serve us well in the long run.
And I just can't read digital comics. As much as I try, it's not as good as physical. It's not like movies or TV or video games where the digital version's just as good. It's just different. I just can't do it. Especially when you get a full spread. Like, it's just, drives me bonkers.
Yeah, it does me too. And I think that the best place where they fit for me is if I'm on an airplane, and I have my iPad, you know, at that point, I've got 5,000 comics with me, right? So,
right.
You know, for something like that, it's perfect. But I'm a print guy, and I like print, so I hear what you're saying.
Out of all the books you've written or started, been a part of, what's the one that stands out the most?
I don't know that I can, you know, nail it down to just one. I think that there have been several. Obviously, The Death of Superman is something that stands out in a very big way. We also had done, a couple years after that, Marvel Comics and DC Comics got together, and they're competitors, right? But we all tend to be friends. And we did DC versus Marvel, which was, you know, get all the heroes from both companies together, in which obviously had to end up as a fight scene kind of thing. So that's one. And also the various things that I've created. I had, and before I even get into that, I would say, you know, I wrote Thor at Marvel for about 7 years. So that was a good, fun time. Also did Spider-Man and Captain America there. And then, you know, at DC, created a character called Booster Gold, who has, you know, managed to last this long. So
I think I'm going to give you a round of applause for Booster Gold, by the way. I love Booster.
But yeah, I mean, it's there. I can't narrow it down to one. There are several different things.
Well, I think you hit on some of my favorite work of yours. You also did some stuff at Valiant, right? Like
right.
You did
Solar.
Solar, yeah, that was amazing.
Thank you.
That was a great run. And then looking forward to where we're going with comics and kind of the state of the business. DC's been doing some interesting things with the Black series or the Black Label. Is that something think you'll pursue at some point?
Potentially, I would like to. Right now, it's a question of just trying to stay on top of everything that I do have, as well as a couple of other things we're trying to get going. And, you know, earlier we kind of had a similar format that we just called, you know, the Prestige line.
Right.
And I did several projects along that fit into that format. And what's nice about it is it tends to be a square-bound format, no ads, anything like that. Yeah, and for an artist especially, that's a very fun way to work. But because you can visualize more easily what it's going to look like as opposed to drawing, you know, page 18, and then when the book comes out, you see like this big garish ad right next to it that interrupts the story flow sequence. So yeah, it's a nice way to work.
And you've been doing this forever at DC. Do you have the clout to just be like, sorry, Brian Michael Bendis, but, you know, I'm going to do this series for a bit.
No.
Well, how are you approached with characters and work like that?
You know, it's always a mix. And that's because there is never a linear path to creation, is what I always tell people, that ideas are generated in a different way. Project concepts are generated in a different way. Sometimes it will be as as goofy as a couple of people sitting down and having lunch, and you start to play the what if game, and the next thing you know, that turns into a tangible project. Other times it will be me saying to a couple of people, you know, we gotta try this, we gotta try this, and it becomes a project. Other times your phone rings and they'll say, hey, we were thinking of doing this and that you'd be perfect for it. Would you be interested? So things come about in a variety of different ways.
Tell me about Gen 5. What can you tell me about that?
That is something we are working on right now. So, you know, what had been released in the press is this idea that DC would be relaunching something later this year, or launching a project called Generation 5 as something that would take another look at the heroes that are there. My name was listed with a couple of others in terms of something that would start up, and we're still working on it. We're fine-tuning it as things go on. So I don't have a final answer for you yet, because right now we honestly don't know what that final answer is. But it's something we're still going to get to, and hopefully we will have some better answers maybe in a month or two. And again, depends a lot on what happens in our real lives outside our windows.
I'm guessing the Justice League led by Booster Gold.
I think that would be an awesome start. I could see that as a cover.
Well, Dan, hey, thank you so much for taking the time today. Best of luck to you out there. Stay safe, and can't wait to see what comes, hopefully sooner than later, right?
Exactly, and the same to you guys.
All right, take care.
Okay, you too.